Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here with you tonight.
Why are you here? We're talking to Carolyn Mace about Sacred Contracts, one of her many best-selling books. Welcome to the show, Greg Braden.
Well, good evening, Nicole. It's certainly a pleasure to hear your voice and a pleasure to be here tonight.
Welcome to the show, Stuart Wild.
Thank you very much.
John Kehoe, welcome to News for the Soul.
Hey, how are you?
Hello, everybody. This is Daniel Brinkley. Welcome to the hearts and minds of Enfoldment. This is News for the Soul.
Hello.
Next on News for the Soul is Creating Space with Sherry Trentini. Sherry's intention is to help others create space, bring balance, and move forward into their lives using a fusion of law of attraction, life coaching, feng shui, grief recovery, and good energy. Sherry explores many trainings and modalities to help clients around the world. Welcome Sherry back to News for the Soul.
Hello everybody, it's Sherry Trentini of Creating Space. I'm a life coach focusing on the law of attraction as well as grief recovery. Thank you for being here today. This being the last month of the year here in December, I feel that it's sort of swamped with decisions. What are we going to buy for our family? What are we going to buy for our friends? Where are we going to spend our holidays? And how are we going to invest our time as we trickle down to the end of the year? So, you know, we can sort of get caught up with, you know, needing to have a perfect answer to all of those questions of all the decisions that we have to make. And that can make for a stressful Christmas and or holiday season. And so I'm wanting everybody to sort of take a step back from all that hecticness, and whether it's self-created or created in your environment, and to remind yourself the benefit of just stopping and reconnecting and taking a few deep breaths. You know, that has been a long time choice or way to cope with things when your stress levels get high, but you don't have to wait till your stress level is high to benefit from making sure that you've sort of grounded yourself by taking those big deep breaths, especially this time of year. And we can often get caught up with having to make so many decisions all at one time. And after after that moment of reconnecting with the breath and letting everything calm down, sometimes making those decisions can feel a lot easier. My experience has been that, you know, when you're having to go with the flow and you get some bumps in the way, that you can get caught up in that current and feeling like you're being bounced across the rocks a little bit. And, you know, that certainly doesn't add value to your holiday season with your family and friends. So I thought I would encourage everybody to, you know, focus on taking 2 or 3 to 5 deep breaths in those times when you're in the shopping center or you're in holiday traffic or you're traveling to get somewhere, you're waiting at an airport, any time that you can just sort of reconnect and focus in on the body. So I also wanted to change things up for the last show of 2016, and I've invited a spectacular guest that I'm excited to chat with. Her name is Anne Bollinger, and she's a Martha Beck trained life coach, a certified law of attraction coach, a certified intuition coach, a Reiki master, and a certified Reiki animal practitioner. Anne combines these manifesting, intuition, and Reiki skills and integrates them into her coaching sessions in ways that help her clients gain clarity, identify their life's purpose, and tap into their intuition. With this approach, Anne helps her clients create authentic, self-reliant lives. And when she's not immersed in learning and coaching, Anne can be found exploring the hiking trails, the gorgeous architecture, and the awesome local shops and farmers markets of West Galt in Cambridge, Ontario, her new hometown. That's here in Canada, for those of you south of the border. Anne can also be found sharing and playing in her virtual home located at annebollinger.com. That's AnneBollinder.com. And in her Facebook group, Re-Enchanting Your Life. And she is more than open to having you drop by and explore, ask any questions, or just say hello. So hello to you, Anne. Thank you for joining me today.
Hello, Sherry, and thank you so much for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, you know, Anne, you and I have known each other for a couple of years now.
Yep.
And I was so excited when you had published your book. And I love talking to authors because I'm working my way and creating my vision for it to be named that as well. And so you wrote a book earlier this year and published it called Clarity Alchemy, When Success is Your Only Option. What a powerful title.
Thank you.
Now, before I even ask you about the book, I have to share with everybody the dedication on the inside of your book. It is, I find, so powerful. And her dedication reads, "This book is dedicated to everyone who yearns to be more adventurous, more self-reliant, more joyful, who desires to live a life full, a life of purpose and passion, but isn't quite sure where to start or what to do." That is brilliant. You are, when people are going to hear that or read that, I bet you a lot of hands get raised. Is that what your experience has been? How has that that been, reaching out to those people?
Well, the reason why I wrote the book was because I was getting a lot of clients that were coming to me who were in their 40s and 50s and who were telling me they hated the life that they were living, that it no longer served them, they no longer got any joy of it, but they felt trapped because they had obviously certain responsibilities. So mm-hmm. making major change was a big risk for them.
Yes.
They wanted change. They didn't know how to do it. They didn't even know what they wanted. All I knew was they wanted out of the life that they had. So this book basically starts from square one.
Okay.
So it tells people, it helps people basically do what I call a personal inventory. So it looks at what they like, what they don't like, how they like to work, what really brings them joy, what their learning style is. It covers a lot of that very basic fundamental ground. There's a whole chapter devoted on just simply identifying what your core values are, because those are that cornerstone of who your authentic life really is. And before you do anything in terms of making any kind of transformation, making any kind of change in your life, I get people to take a look at all of that first and then start looking at their lives in three different sections: their life through well-being, their life through their contribution, which is the career or the volunteer work, and their life through connections, which are relationships, and start plugging all that information into basically a paper version, a story of what they want their life to look like. So technically what they're doing is they're creating their ideal life on paper first to get a feel for how it feels before they start going out and making changes. That way they reduce the risk of what they're doing so that they know that they're going to get into things they really love doing before they do it. And then there's the final chapter, which takes a look at how, using law of attraction techniques, how they can then start manifesting the life that they want without really fully giving up the life they've got until they're ready to. So for me, it's kind of a risk-reduced way of providing huge transformations in your life. And that's what the book's about.
Oh, wow. That is an awesome, awesome summary of your book. That is brilliant. Now, I have to ask, you know, you talk about your clients' age range about, you know, 40s to 50s. Of course, there's that sort of transition, you know, letting go and moving into sort of a different pace, or allowing themselves to start to explore maybe the things that they sort of put on the back burner. But really, this is applicable to all age ranges in a lot of ways. Would you agree?
Yes, it is. I mean, anybody can go through the process. Anyone can use this process in order to make the major transformations in their life, start bringing things that they love into their lives, instead of changing that feeling from total frustration and stress to one more of a relaxed enjoyment. So anybody can do that. The reason why I really had the 40 to 50 year olds in mind when I was thinking about it is, when you're 20s and 30, in your 20s and 30s, you can take some risk.
Yes.
Okay. Right? If you don't like the lifestyle you've got, if you don't like the career you've got plenty of time to try something different. And if you don't like that something different, you can try something else. Or you've got family and friends around who can provide you with that safety net if you need it. Once you start getting into the 40s and 50s, their safety net isn't there as much any longer. The feeling of it being, it's got to be a one-shot deal, because if I make a mistake, I can't recover from it, starts becoming a lot stronger once you hit your 40s and 60s. For a lot of people, I'm not saying for everyone.
Of course.
For a lot of people, that kind of, you know I was feeling it. You know, if I leave my job that I hate and find out I'm going into something else and I really hate it too, what are my options? Because, you know, when you're in your 50s, you feel like your options are kind of drying up. So that's why it was geared towards the 40s and 50-year-olds or older. But it's certainly the types of techniques and the types of processes that are discussed in the book can apply to anybody for whatever kind of transformation you want to make.
And of course, the first point for anybody looking for this type of book, whether on the bookshelf or in an ebook or reaching out to a life coach, you know, the dissatisfaction with how their life is feeling is that big motivator. So is this an opportunity for some people to maybe go back in reflection and, you know, sort of recultivate some of the interests that maybe they had to set aside because of career or family or, you know, life?
Absolutely. And it's one of those things, you know, the law of attraction, it's one of those things where even if you don't do the activity, if you can reconnect to the feeling that you got while you were doing that activity, that is as important as actually doing the activity. So it's really, the theme throughout all of it, there's a very strong undertone of the law of attraction. Go for the feeling, not necessarily for the activity, although the activity is that sort of extra bonus if it's something that you really love doing.
Yes, yes, yes.
But, I mean, it even allows you to use your imagination and to think about, I know there are things, I've never ridden a horse, that's something that's always attracted me. So just knowing that feeling of why it's attracting me is something I can pull into my life and look at other things that provide that feeling too, because I know what feeling I want now. Right? But when you're caught up in that whole, God, I hate my life, it's so frustrating, it's so stressful, thinking of how you can improve just how you're feeling starts becoming the big challenge.
Yes. And, you know, I've in my writing and in my coaching and on this radio show, how people are feeling is a very, very important part of what helps me to understand and for them to understand what might be keeping them stuck. And also to make that, take even the feeling risk, the risk of feeling something different, that can be the first risk. And it's a pretty safe one. However, it can feel pretty dangerous.
Right. And normally when you're caught up in that cycle of frustration and stress, it's exhausting.
Oh, gosh, yes, absolutely. So where's your motivation going to come from when you're so tired?
Exactly. Where's the energy going to come from for you to even look at what your options are?
Yeah.
Right? So this book at least provides you with some key indicators that you can start to think about. So you don't have to think about what key indicators you need to think about before you can start thinking about them kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's what it was. That was the basis for the book.
Oh, well, that's brilliant. And I'm not intimately familiar, but throughout the book, you have additional resources that people who own the book can also reach out to. So are those worksheets or just further sort of, you know, reading, or what do you have as further resources? Because you have them available to those who have the book.
Mostly they're worksheets. Especially for something like learning your core values, because that's not, a lot of people see it as a fairly easy step, but it's actually a fairly, it's almost like you need to have your intuition working before you can get your core values. So there's a process that I take people through in the worksheets that helps them connect with their core values in a way that allows them to draw on their intuition so that they know that they're really their core value, that they're their authentic core values, not their social self core values, but their essential self core values. They're what they're really born, what they're really here to do.
And what is your experience with people suddenly tapping back into their intuition? So if maybe that has been sort of, you know, been covered up by, again, other things or maybe outside influences or otherwise, is there a big shift when people start to feel that again, that gut feeling, or however you want to sort of describe the sensory experience of using your intuition?
Using your intuition, so weird. That's
don't do that. We want people to do that.
We're in a good way. We're in a really good way. When I first, okay, your intuition is sort of like the law of attraction. It's always there. It's always working.
Yeah.
Right? So you're always using your intuition. When you stand in front of a refrigerator at, you know, trying to get ready for something for dinner, and you have no idea what it is you want to eat, and all of a sudden, oh, I think I'd like to have. That's your intuition talking. Right?
Oh, that is a great example, Anne. Thank you for that. I think that might help a lot of people.
Right. So, I mean, it's those kinds of decisions where you're not logically thinking through a yes-no answer. Or you're not logically thinking through. And once you start on that path, and again, I'm going to go a little bit woo here. I see this, the individual, the body as being two bodies. One is your physical body and one's your metaphysical body.
Okay.
And your metaphysical body is your soul and it's your intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And once you start tapping into that intuition, it's like you start bringing those two halves back together again. And once you start bringing those two halves back together again, what you start doing is you start following, that's when you really start following your bliss. That's when you really start following what is your authentic joy. And that's when the universe starts sort of doing the feedback, start saying, okay, I'm going to put these synchronicities in front of you because you're listening to your intuition now. So it starts that whole new adventure in your life that people tend to miss out on when they choose or when they don't actually connect with their intuition.
So, you know, they've got the practical, the worksheets of the, you know, discovering their core values. And then at, through that process, it starts to reawaken that sort of sense. And then I love what you're doing by also making that connection to maybe, you know, what do you want to eat? That's the best way I've ever heard someone describe that, because we use it so often that sometimes it's so unconscious. But yet, when we're trying to listen really hard, maybe that's when we're not hearing it.
Well, I think one of the problems when people try to listen to their intuition is that they're listening correctly.
Ah.
They often think that their intuition is that small voice inside their head.
Yeah.
Often that's just the chatter.
Ah.
Your annoying ego kind of getting in the way. But like learning styles, there are different ways of being able to connect with your intuition. Hearing the small voice is only one.
Okay.
Hearing music, I don't know if you ever hear lyrics or parts of a song that pop into your head. That's your intuition talking to you. And generally, it's the first few lines or sentences before you actually start hearing it that's really significant. So if that ever happens to you, start sort of think about what those few sentences might actually mean to your life, to what's going on right now.
I've never heard.
Yeah, so that's one. That's another way your intuition will talk to you. Another way would be if you're out for a walk and you're in an area that you're kind of familiar with, but all of a sudden your attention is attracted to something very specific.
Okay.
That's your intuition saying, hey, look, there's a message here I want to give you. Take notice, right? Or you hear clips of someone talking and you just hear a sentence of what they're saying. They're called street oracles. And often what that is your intuition saying, hey, look, this is how I can get you a message to you. So pay attention and try to figure out how it connects. So there are a variety of different ways that your intuition can actually connect to you. And the common theme that seems to run through all of them is that it's anything unusual, anything that comes in out of the blue. It could be a smell. It could be a taste. It could be a sound. It could be a vision. It could be color. Anything that comes in, you know, if you're thinking of you want to go swimming, and all of a sudden you start thinking of this flower that you used to have when you were very young, pay attention to that flower, that message of the flower that you had when you were very young, because it's out of context, and it's quite likely your intuition trying to tell you something. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that certainly does. But the question that comes to my mind is, now, is it possible that we can try to over-process these messages? And then mix it all together, because now we're so highly, you know, we're in the book you talk about and direct people to the I've lost it now, the video where you're watching the baseball or the basketball.
Right, the gorilla suit, the guy in the
gorilla suit. Yeah. So how do we just sort of allow those messages and allow and be open to our interpretation of it rather than wanting to dissect and then sort of get caught up in that because that, you know, your whole book is about clarity and intuition. If we start to cloud, we're sort of working against ourselves a little bit.
Right. If you have to work really hard, it's not your intuition. Intuition should be easy, should be light. It should be always very friendly and very kind.
Ah.
It works best when you can kind of reduce that chatter in your mind a little bit. And in the book, there's a couple of really easy ways to be able to slow that chatter down a little bit. One is to relax the muscles around your eyes so that you basically, you soft focus your eyes. When you're thinking, when you're using your logic, you tend to focus very tightly at what's in front of you because that's where you're looking, that's where you're thinking. Whereas if you kind of let that thoughts go and you relax your muscles, you start looking more to the periphery of your vision. And that, for some reason, stops that chatter from taking over your mind. So that slows it down. And that will allow you to kind of hear what else is going on and to notice anything that's out of the ordinary.
So sort of that daydreaming gaze.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
You know, where you're just kind of lost in thought and your eyes are just sort of cast. And, yeah, you just have a softer, blurry focus on, you know, you're well aware of your surroundings. You're well aware of what's happening, but it's just sort of that softness. That's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant way to describe it because.
Do you remember the book's Magic Eye? Those really weird pictures that were chaotic pictures and that you had to really self-focus your eyes in order to bring the 3D picture out?
Okay. Yes.
You'd like what you need to do with your eyes. You need to have that kind of really soft gaze
that
kind of looks at that space between rather than at what you're looking at. And that will help slow the chatter down.
So as you're working through the steps in your book and doing all the worksheets and sort of uncovering and discovering and exploring, the getting to that, you know, that success feeling, all of this sort of packaged together, like obviously, you know, you have to put the time in order to sort of help bring yourself, you know, from where you're feeling and where you're at to where you want to be. Does it all sort of happen all at once or is it sort of a building process as you're going through this?
Generally, it's a building process because what you're trying to do is release everything that you no longer want. And that's a process. Yeah. And you're trying, and I know for me and for other people that I've talked with, trying to physically release that stuff that you no longer want is really difficult. I mean, I've tried behavior modification processes where you've got like the elastic around your wrist and you're snapping the elastic. Yeah, I don't like, it doesn't work for me because by the time I think to snap the elastic on my wrist, I've already thought of the thought that I no longer want to think about, right?
That's right.
So it's kind of after the act rather than before.
Yeah.
So what this book tries to do is to get you out ahead of that and get you thinking positively rather than trying to change the thoughts that you've had in the past.
Yeah.
It tries to get you to bring in the positive thoughts. Yeah. So one of the exercises really is to get you to look at things that you've been successful with in the past so that you can reestablish what it feels like to be successful again because sometimes that kind of gets lost.
Yeah.
So it helps you reestablish what you want to feel rather than trying to get rid of how you feel.
Ah, so is it a process of, you know, I talk a lot about decluttering both thoughts and things and all the rest of it. And my big process is that whatever you're letting go of, to let go of that with love and gratitude. So, you know, obviously having those feelings and such have served that served their purpose. But I appreciate how you are helping people to sort of letting them go, but not in a, you know, elastic snapping kind of way, but rather than consciously letting them go in order to allow something else to come in.
For me, it feels like it's a positive experience rather than a negative one.
Yes.
It's positively incorporating good thoughts and good feelings as opposed to trying really hard to get rid of the negative ones. If negative ones are going to come in, they're going to flow through. They're not going to disappear automatically. There's no magic wand here.
Yeah.
But when they do, as you say, approach them with gratitude. Thank them for what it is that they've served you and how they served you in the past. Let them know that they don't serve you any longer. And tell them goodbye.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's just like hanging up the telephone from talking to a friend. you know, you say goodbye and you, you know, it's sort of let it go and carry on until the next time. And then you start the process again. So yeah, exactly. In the book too, and we mentioned that at the, in your bio, a lot of the energy work that you're doing, the Reiki, but you also employ the tarot cards. And how does that work for people in the alchemy process for their clarity?
Okay. I don't know if it's just that I'm weird or unusual.
You're perfect the way you are.
Thank you. But I mean, I've had some really good coaches in my life that I've gone to and got coaching from them. And looking back on it, what I kept finding was they were coaching me very much from their perspective.
Ah.
Worked extraordinarily well from them. So it was through their lens that they were seeing what it was that I was trying to deal with. It didn't help me. Not in the long run. It may have helped me in the short run, but certainly not in the long run. And, you know, with complete and absolute respect for every coach, because I'm a coach, you're a coach, I know coaching is a fantastic way of being able to help people. I strongly believe that our best answers come from inside,
mm-hmm.
and that only we know the true depth of what it is we're trying to do. Things like limiting beliefs. You know, I could talk to, and again, like I said, I've had some really brilliant coaches that I've worked with. I've talked to them about limiting beliefs. None of them really connected with what it was that I was feeling as my limiting belief.
Okay.
When I use the tarot, I feel like I'm connecting with my intuition and my higher self. So it feels like, and anybody can do this. This isn't just something that's magical about me. Right. Anybody and everybody can do this. It just takes a little bit of getting, of doing it and practicing it. What it was able to do for me was provide me with answers that were personal and uniquely mine and authentically mine that I wasn't able to get any life coach because of the way we perceive the world.
Mm-hmm.
So in doing things like looking at limiting beliefs, I thought one of my limiting beliefs was I wouldn't be able to actually create a business, right? That there would be some fears around creating a business. And that's what I was trying to get rid of. What I discovered by using to the tarot cards was that my limiting belief was actually, yeah, I could create a business anytime I want to. It's the continuation of the business. Is being able to build a business over the long term that I was having the greatest level of difficulty with. Once I understood that, which was something uniquely personally mine, once I understood that for the tarot cards, I was able to then use the tarot to help me, okay, what's the next step I need to do now in order to overcome that fear?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kinds of things, that's the kind of daily guidance that people can get, that everybody can get from tarot. And again, you don't have to be an intuitive reader. You just have to kind of realistically and authentically ask the questions that you want the tarot to answer and listen to what the tarot is saying.
So, okay. So I have limited experience with tarot cards. And what I'm understanding then is that they would be, you know, an extension of or a visual or literal representation of the answers that you need then, right? When you ask that question, then I see, you know, shuffling the cards, asking the question, then laying out the cards. That is, you know, the sort of the manifestation of my answers, but then, you know, I have to interpret what that particular card is. Is that okay?
Especially, and again, there are different kinds of tarot decks. So the type of tarot deck you choose will provide you with different ways of looking at things. The ones that I tend to use are the Rider-Waite decks.
Okay.
And the Rider-Waite decks, and there's a variety of versions of the Rider-Waite decks, but the original Rider-Waite deck, they use symbols in each of the cards that go back thousands and thousands of years.
Oh.
Right? So they're calling on Kabbalah, they're calling on Christianity, they're calling on pagan symbols. These are symbols that have a kind of energy encased in them because they've been used for so long for these kinds of things. Now, because each card tells a story, what you're doing is you're actually connecting with your right brain.
Okay.
Rather than your left brain. And your right brain is all about creativity, visualization, and intuition. And the more you try to read these cards by reading the pictures, the more you connect with your intuition, with your creativity, with your ability to visualize, and with your intuition. So it helps you expand. Just reading the tarot cards, reading those Rider-Waite decks that I've been doing, has allowed me to connect so deeply with my intuition. I don't think I could have gotten there had I not been using the tarot decks. So that's what it's done for me, and it's my belief that it can do that for anybody who wants it.
Wow. Well, I did ask the question to on my Facebook page if anybody had any other questions, and you've actually attended to a couple in just that answer. However, so anybody can read the tarot, and how long until you sort of get into that flow of sort of understanding how it's applicable to you? Or is that another, again, sort of that soft focus when you're reading the information about each card? Is that sort of what you would recommend to people if they're starting out, if they maybe get a deck for a present?
Everybody, anybody, first time you take out a deck, you mm-hmm. can read a card. It's going to have relevance to you.
Okay.
It's that quick, that easy. We were talking earlier, and I mentioned that I've actually been reading the cards for like 30 years.
Yeah.
And I gave up in frustration and disgust because I'd started trying to read the cards using left brain. And when you've got like those thick manuals where you've got pages and pages of meaning for every single card, trying to memorize all of that, yeah, just it caused my brain to kind of feel like it was exploding kind of thing. Now you can do that. You can sort of learn the keywords for each of these cards, and that's fine. I mean, when I was doing just the keywords that way, I was still doing readings that I was getting a lot of information out of. Hmm. But I just realized I wasn't going as deeply into the meaning as what I could. So that encouraged me to kind of walk away from it for a few years. And then a few years ago, when I took the Intuitive Practitioner Certification Program, and we got back into doing the intuitive tarot readings, and when I started doing that, I started more reading from the right brain, which was basically putting the manuals away and trying to read the pictures, and that helped me. That's what really helped me connect more with my intuition. So if you're a new reader, I would suggest the way to start is maybe learn the keywords for the cards, learn maybe two or three keywords for each of the cards that you want to look at. Learn some of the big sort of ways of looking at it. There's the major arcana, which is basically a story that goes from the Fool all the way through the World, right? So there's a story of archetypes that go through all of that. And then the minor arcana, the kings, queens, jacks, and princesses, whatever, and all the ones to tens, tell slightly different stories of everyday life. So when you learn just a little bit of information like that, put the manuals away and start reading the pictures. And just from that little bit of knowledge, you can start really reading it intuitively. And I found when I do that and put the books away, I really do start connecting to my higher self. And I get messages when I do that. It's that intuitive messages, mine sort of pop in, it's information that pops into my brain. I find that information will pop into my brain on a regular basis when I'm doing that reading.
So how is it that, because you're connecting with your intuition and higher power, and you're doing a reading for somebody else, now a perfect stranger, how does that process work in order to not, I guess, read the cards based on your connection to the card? How do you have that experience and be able to read for somebody else that is for their highest good?
Okay. How far into the woo do we want to go?
Let's see where we're going.
Okay. My understanding is there is this Akashic field, okay, which, I mean, scientists like Rupert Sheldrake have talked about this morphogenic field. It's been called the field of intentions, that kind of thing. There is this sort of energy field that we're all connected to. The deeper you go into your intuition, the more you connect to that field. It's where people who read the Akashic records will go into in order to be able to access the Akashic records. My understanding, my belief is that when I read someone's tarot cards, I actually, my intuition, the higher self, becomes part of that that energy field, which means that I can connect with other people's energy. I have shocked myself, as well as the people I've read for sometimes with some of the things that I've come up with or seen in the cards. They haven't realized that they were that exposed.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I know I've gotten feedback.
Right.
Sorry?
It's permission-based, too, because they're coming to you for a reading, then you're open or you're accessible to that connection, yes?
Yeah, I would never do a reading on somebody that I didn't have their permission to do it on, and I always stick to the specific question that they ask, so I don't pry.
Yeah. Yeah.
But even sort of answering the questions that people have asked, I've identified people that are in their lives that they hadn't, that I had no way of knowing about. You know, there's been that kind of information that comes through the cards, situations that they're thinking of getting into, that the card is telling them whether it's a good idea or not. And it's that kind of information that they can get. And I can give that to them by doing a tarot reading. Somebody who wants to do it for themselves, you know, a little bit of practice will get you to the point where you could do that for yourself as well.
Now, have you ever gotten a card in a reading for somebody else or yourself, or more so for somebody else, that you did not want to share what you had interpreted?
Sometimes,
yeah,
but I don't see myself as a censor.
Okay.
I see myself as a channel.
Okay.
And I give the information as best as I can based on what the cards have to say. It may not be what they want to hear, but they've asked the cards to answer a question, and that's the answer they're going to get. I know there are some people that like, there's the death card, which can be pretty scary to look at. But when you interpret it correctly, based on what it is the person's going through, it's really just information. And it's just information that they can use then to make decisions that are aligned with their authentic self.
That specifically, I think, you can have very limited information about tarot, but knowing that there is the death card, that I understand that to be symbolic of, as we just talked about, letting go of something with love and gratitude that no longer serves you in your life. So it doesn't have to mean physical death or something ominous is going to happen, but more so that, you know, something has come to an end, or something is going to come to an end, or now is a good time to end something, so on and so forth. Is that accurate from what little I do know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, the deck that I use, the Rider-Waite deck, in the card of the death, death is a skeleton, of course, with his scythe and the black hood, the cape, the whole bit, riding on a white horse. Reminds me, don't know if you've ever read Terry Pratchett?
Not familiar.
Terry Pratchett has got these incredible stories. They're all very funny stories about his comic character, Death, riding on his white horse. The white horse is named Binky. I mean, they're all, yeah, it's all that kind of lightheartedness. Death in that picture reminds me very much of Death riding Binky. In behind, at the back of Death, is all the death and destruction. Everything is sort of looking very bleak. As you say, we're leaving all of the stuff that no longer serves us, that's holding us back, that's keeping us grounded in something we don't want. We're letting go of all of that. In front of Death and the horse are all these incredible images of the sun, the child, the sunflower, all very inspiring and very bright. So in order to get to where Death is going, we have to get rid of what it is that's no longer serving us. And that's how I read that card, and that's how most really good tarot readers would read the card. I don't know that there's any card in tarot that will actually predict a death, because tarot doesn't necessarily work in a time frame.
That's right? Information.
It works with thoughts and ideas and activities and situations more than anything, but to try to get an actual time frame that something is going to happen is really tricky in tarot, and it doesn't always work. So, you know, predicting someone's death by pulling the death card, not going to happen.
Right. Okay, so that leads to my next question that just popped into my head intuitively. When people are posing their question, should it be in the present, or can they ask something about something in the past, or is it about something in the future? Because there can be, you know, probably more styles of questions or combinations of thereof. But when you said that, you know, time is an illusion when it comes to the tarot cards, because it's not saying, okay, you will get this in, you know, 5 minutes or, you know, 5 years. So when we're asking questions that are maybe time sensitive, whether the past, future, or the present, how does that play out? Or how do you read that?
Again, the questions, the more open they are, the better it is, because the more information you can get. Okay. One of probably the most widely used tarot spreads is the past, present, and future spread.
Yes.
Right? But even that revolves around a specific issue.
Okay. So
how, you know, what from the past is affecting the issue today, and how is that going to carry forward into the future? I haven't tried, although it would be really, you've got me thinking, it would be really fun to look at how I could change something in the past through a tarot reading, right? Because time, when you start taking a look at quantum physics, the idea of time, everything is present all at once. There is no past, present, and future in the metaphysical realm or in the quantum physics realm. So it would be very interesting to see if whether or not to go back using tarot cards to say, okay, what do I need to do to change this 3 years ago? And how is this going to affect me today and tomorrow? So that would be, I'm sure that that's something that's seriously possible to do. I just haven't tried it yet.
Well, that sounds, you know, sometimes that can be that what you're expressing, somebody has a very negative life experience, and at least to, you know, we can't maybe undo what that experience was, but we can change how we reacted to it, or we can sort of convert and add the lesson earlier than later. Is that?
Well, we can transform how we've perceived it.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. So that we no longer have that negative energy attached to it. Yes. And this is where I'm finding Reiki comes in extraordinarily well, combined with tarot. Because Reiki is a healing modality.
Yes.
Right? It's an energy healing modality. And when you combine, when you come across something like that, something that's emotionally or mentally blocking someone from moving forward, if you send Reiki to that situation, it can release that block and allow the person to move forward.
Wow. Yeah.
Right, so that's one of the reasons why I started learning about Reiki.
And I've used, I did my first training when, over a dozen years ago. And it's, I think, an essential part of everything, right? Just, I think it's brilliant. Good for you. And I love that you're focusing specifically on pets, because that can certainly be an amazing gift to be able to help a pet or somebody.
Well, even, I mean, it's more than just pets. I also, I sent Reiki healing to a couple of rhinoceroses that had some serious injuries.
Oh.
I've sent, you send Reiki to, like, the bees.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, great idea. Good, yeah.
I mean, you can send Reiki. Reiki's one of those amazing, magical, energy healing sort of things that you can basically, you can send Reiki to a business that has an energetic component to it. You can send Reiki to, it doesn't have to be right in front of you. It can be done through distance. It can go into the past. Wow. And it can be used to help heal something in the past.
Yes.
That's why I'm saying you use it with tarot to uncover one of these limiting beliefs. You can send Reiki to whatever caused that limiting belief to help open it up and unblock it. So that's sort of where I'm going with all of this stuff at this point.
That's brilliant. So, and now maybe you've noticed a bit of a theme with your clients here of late, you know, as we are coming to the end of 2016. And I was wondering if there's any sort of guidance that you'd like to share that you've maybe received or information from the cards through this process that would help, you know, maybe find some clarity as we come to the close of this year and as we are on the cusp of stepping into 2017. Anything that you could share?
The thing that seems to be happening more and more recently is a shift in the energetic fields around, this is going to sound really woo-woo and out there, but I keep hearing more and more about how people are becoming really involved with their intuition. They're really beginning to open up to their intuition. They're really beginning to look at the possibility of connecting more deeply with their authentic self. And I think you'll find as we go forward, especially with what's happening politically recently, right? People are being tested in a way that they've never been tested before. And it's really showing the true character of individuals. And those who are suffering because it's not what they want are finding that they're being asked to really start moving into their intuition and into their authentic self. And I think this is going to become more and more critical in the coming year. At least that's the feeling I'm getting, that there's going to be more and more of the psychic help, of the following what it is you really feel a passion for and what you know is correct. Things out of the blue are going to start happening to people who start doing this. That's just basically what I'm feeling in terms of how this whole thing is moving. We've moved away from the pure scientific way of being able, analytical way of looking at it. We're moving much further into the right brain way of looking at creativity, that visualization, that using your intention. I think it's going to start becoming stronger and stronger as we move forward.
Yeah, and also following the feeling, right? Going with what feels good.
Absolutely.
Working with that intuition. Yeah. Now, this is an interesting time that the world, North America and the world has experienced. And so, people like yourself and myself and anybody who does any type of energy work has probably invested some time in sort of sending good energy throughout the entire globe.
Right.
So, tarot cards and books and websites and all that kind of good stuff. First, before I let you loose on your own self-promotion, I just want to say again that the Clarity Alchemy book is available on, it's an ebook. Is it also a hard copy?
No, it's not hard copy. It's just available through Kindle at this point.
Okay, so it's a Kindle book, which you can find it on Amazon, so that's amazon.com, and again, it is Clarity Alchemy, Alchemy, When Success is Your Only Option, and I love it. That's a great book, and you've got your website, which we mentioned at the start. Any sort of offerings that you've got going that you'd like to share, and feel free to share all of where people can find you, how can they connect with you for either a tarot reading or coaching or Reiki or all that good stuff. You just share it all.
Okay. All of that now I've got posted up on my website. So you'll find either individual Reiki sessions on the website, either to animals or to people or to businesses or whatever it is you want a Reiki session for. I'm just developing, because I've just recently received my Reiki Master designation, yeah. I'm working on learning how to do attunements. So I've got a Reiki box all set up and ready to go. I just need to attune it. And when I do that, I'm going to be making an offering for like $10 a month. Somebody could have what it is they want energy flow going to included in the box. Ooh. And that way they'll receive a steady stream of energy into it.
Ooh, tell us a wee bit more about that, Anne. That sounds brilliant. And what a great gift idea to give somebody too, FYI.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. with Reiki, again, you don't have to be present in order to receive the Reiki. It can be done distance. You don't even have to be aware that you're getting it. Although to give Reiki to a person, you do need their permission. So what I've decided to do is create what's known as a Reiki box, where basically I'm going to attune the box so it will continually self-heal all of the contents, everything that's in it. And what I'm looking to do is basically offer it to anybody who has something. If you're starting a business, right, and you want some extra energy boost going to your business, just write out what it is your business is going to be all about, where it is you think you might want some extra help, and send it to me, $10 a month, $100 a year. I'll put it in the box. Every couple of times during the day, I'll send Reiki to it just to keep it boosted. And hopefully that should, it will increase the energy flow through whatever it is you want. If you've got a pet that's ailing and you want just a little bit of extra, TLC sent to the pet, that kind of thing can be done if you're trying to lose weight. If you're trying to feng shui your house. And you want a little bit more free flow of that energy. Yeah. All of this stuff can be added to the box, and it'll get a continual boost, amp up of Reiki energy. So that's my big project for this month.
Well, I'm on your email list, which is always chock full of interesting things. So definitely for those who are listening, I'm highly intrigued by your Reiki box, FYI. looking forward to hearing that announcement about its readiness in your newsletters. So anything else? Do you have any opt-ins or free downloads that people might be interested in popping by to see?
Okay, the only other thing that I'm really working on at this point and really focusing on is the Reenchanting Your Life Facebook group.
Yeah, tell us a bit about that, please.
Okay, well, that is basically, it's into the metaphysical realm. It's 1 month we'll be looking at specific topics. So this past month, because this past month was November the 11th, which was a very powerful day for setting intentions, the 1111 angel numbers, that kind of thing.
Yes.
So this whole month of November, I've been looking at finding or providing information on how people can amp up their rituals.
Okay.
Which ended today. Tomorrow, we're going to start looking at intuition and start creating sort of the whole discussion for the group this coming month is going to be on looking at different ways people get their information from, all the different clairs that you have that you can receive your information through, the different senses, how you can really sort of start connecting with your intuition a lot more. In the future, there's going to be, you know, topics will be on tarot, basically, you know, myth-busting on tarot, things that you really sort of relieving the falsehoods that can surround the tarot reading sometimes. Just that kind of, it's going to be a bit kind of information. Moon magic is something that I'm fascinated with. Food magic, you know, each food has a specific energy. Sometimes it helps amp up your love energy. Sometimes it can help amp up your money vibe. So that's the kind of stuff that I'm going to be talking about on that group. The group's for free. So anybody who wants to join, just sort of look for Reenchanting Your Life on Facebook, and you can join. Free to join.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, again, and I can't express my gratitude enough about, I so enjoy chatting with you, and this was a lovely, lovely opportunity to hear more in depth, because we, to talk about the book, and I have to say to anybody listening, yes, you know, this might be a transitional time or have been written for with a voice for those in the 40s and 50s, but agreed, this is a great opportunity, huge amount of tools that allow anybody at any age to really tap in, and especially those core values, because sometimes we can get swayed or things can change, and it's always a good opportunity to sort of bring yourself back to that sense, that core, and but making sure that you are making decisions from and living from a place that aligns with those values that are within you. And just as I said at the start of the hour, that sometimes, you know, we can get so caught up with how things are not going that we lose faith, or, you know, we're feeling a bit desperate or just and not sure how to get where we're going and what to do. And nothing can feel worse than having that clutter in our minds. And this book is all about helping to let that clutter go and really dive deep into the clarity portion of your life, no matter what stage. So thank you very much for sharing your wisdom in this book and with me on the call today. And I just wanted to let everybody know that I'm going to be posting this on my website, link to Anne, so that you can be in touch. Jump on her newsletter for certain, always something interesting to read. And, you know, I'm feeling a little inspired to see if I can borrow somebody's tarot cards. I'm not sure if that's kosher or not, but definitely being more open to what the cards might have to tell me. So thank you very much for sharing that information and for letting people know that, you know, that you've been studying for a number of years, but the opportunity to connect with your intuition and get those answers is readily available. Excellent. So that's a good, I'm going to ask that question. Can somebody use somebody else's cards?
Probably not the best thing to do, because what happens with tarot cards is that they become accustomed to your energy.
When
you borrow someone's cards, you'd have to clean them first so that they get your energy in them. Then the person you borrow them from would need to clean them again in order to get their energy put back in. But seriously, you can go out and just simply buy whatever tarot packet you want. You don't have to borrow them. You don't have to wait for somebody to give them to you. I've got about 50 packs of tarot cards.
But a collector, are you?
I love the artwork. I love the inspiration that I get from the pictures. But yeah, any deck, any Oracle deck, any tarot deck, you certainly can just pick up and start using. Just shuffle them a little bit first and then start using them. They're good to go.
So, and how do you encourage people to choose the most perfect deck for them when they're at the shop or at the kiosk or wherever they're picking up tarot cards?
Okay, two ways. One, Rider-Waite tarot decks are, for me, the ideal deck for the beginner, simply because there are so many different books written about them from so many different perspectives, everything from Jungian psychology all the way down to, hey, this is the way I interpret my, you know, Rider-Waite tarot deck cards. So you've got something available for anybody. All the other decks are very personal interpretations of the symbolism, and you need to use those sort of books that come with them in order to really understand them. So one way I would recommend for any beginner is the Rider-Waite tarot decks or whatever really strongly pulls your intuition. If it's something that really does call strongly to you, there's a really good chance it's something that's going to work very well with your intuition, and it's one that I would recommend you get.
Ah, well, that's always a good thing. When you are so highly attracted to something, no matter it is, whatever, it's a sandwich, you
right.
know, it has that higher level of vibes for you. So thank you so much for that. Excellent. Again, my gratitude to Anne for joining me. All of this information you can find on my website under the media page. I also encourage and invite you to pop over and have a read of the blog, jump on my email list as well. There's always something going on, and or onto my Facebook business page, which is Sherry Trentini Creating Space. I'm looking forward to the end of 2016. I always get excited because it gives me an opportunity to reflect on how far, you know, how things have happened, where I was at January 1st of this year, and we've got just a few days left until we start that whole process again. And I always appreciate a time in reflection to recognize, which may not have been obvious at the point, of where, you know, things felt good and where the growth was and what I've learned about myself and others.
Yeah, man, we all love to hear the good news, so we all should rush to hear the good news.
Nice.
But we can just find the good news.
NFTS, NFTS, news for the soul at the very best. NFTS, NFTS, news for the soul at the very best. NFTS, NFTS, news for the soul at the very best.
Yeah, man, just log on to www.newsforthesoul.com. Yeah, you hear me?
We are a life-changing talk radio. We give you good news to keep you on the go. And you can also share the good news, you know. And that's the way we keep in the flow. Wah! We only focus on the positive things, yeah. We only focus on the positive things, yeah. We not go put none of the negative in there. We not go put none of the negative in there. NFTS, NFTS, news for the soul at the very best. NFTS, NFTS, news for the soul at the very best.
Log on to www.newsforthesoul.com. Every time, come hear the good news, share the good news. And we all feeling good.